Welcome back. I am Diana Plopa, your associate publisher from Grey Wolf Publishing. We are in our next segment of this radio program today. We are talking with Nancy Shattuck. She wrote a delightful children's book called The Fishers. She's going to read it for us now, and then we will have a discussion afterward. Go, Nancy.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is a short story which I've dedicated to Grace, who is the daughter of an adopted daughter of a friend of mine. And it's also to all curious kids, even the big ones. Eagle was flying over St. Louis one day because St. Louis is located on the banks of the Mississippi River, and that river is very good for fish. Eagle likes to fish there, especially in the winter, because the Mississippi never freezes over. This time, though, it was in the spring. Eagle flies so high that he can see all over the land, and he has eyes so sharp that he can see a mouse from a mile above. This particular day, though, he saw a strange-looking bird who was flying low over the river. The bird had very long legs and no talons, and a very long neck for a flying creature like himself. So Eagle flew down to investigate. Heron was so intent on looking into the water that she didn't see Eagle flying beside her at first. That made Eagle laugh. "Why do you fly so low?" Eagle asked. "Didn't your parents teach you better?" Heron, not to be outdone, answered, "I can soar too, just like you. I have wings, and I fly from Canada to South America on a journey longer than you can imagine." Eagle laughed. "Not you," he said condescendingly. "You're hardly built for it with that snaky neck and those twiggy legs." "Humph," she said, "I can go anywhere you go," shaking her wings in irritation. "I dare you," said Eagle, and up he flew. But Heron followed and was soon soaring high beside Eagle, which surprised Eagle somewhat. "Let's fish," Eagle said. Then suddenly he dove straight down. Skimming the river, he picked a very surprised fish right from the water with his talons. Then he flew straight up in the air. He was showing off. Heron hovered near. "I'm so fast they never see me coming," he bragged. Heron said, "I fly low when I'm fishing because I can't see the fish from here. I'd starve if I flew this high." Eagle thought it over and decided Heron could soar as much as he could. He accepted that weak eyes might change the picture. "To tell the truth," Heron said, "I can't fish from up here at all." "Then how do you fish?" asked Eagle, curious now. "Follow me," said Heron. And she glided down to a shallow, clear creek in the woods. She flew down the riverbed until she came to a good spot and landed right in the water. Eagle followed, copying her every move, but soon flapped up out of the creek, screeching. Eagle forgot that he had very short legs, and they were covered with feather ruffs. The water was so deep, his feathers clumped around his talons and tripped him. The river threatened to float Eagle away just like a duck. Heron laughed at Eagle. Then she stood very still in the water, far above it. "I can see the fish now," she said. Eagle, whose beak was bent out of shape, said haughtily, "And I suppose the fish can't see you? Any self-respecting fish would run for it." Heron cocked her head and said, "Watch this." She carefully lifted one leg and standing on the other leg that was slender as a reed in the still water, she went into a kind of trance. She didn't make a sound. She didn't make a ripple in the water. She was so still that the fish didn't even know she was there. Some blackbirds nesting nearby got nervous. Blackbird gathered his friends and neighbors and said, "She's too close to our nest for comfort. Let's get her out of here." The first blackbird jumped on Heron's back again and again, but Heron didn't budge or move or make the slightest sound. She was still as a rock. The second blackbird flew at Heron's head, right into her face, shrieking, but Heron didn't move. Two more blackbirds jumped her at one time, but Heron still didn't budge. Finally, the blackbirds gave up and flew away. Eagle was impressed. He had to admit, "I could never do that." Heron stood as still as a stick in the current until, with a motion so silky smooth and fast, she bent her head, plucked out a fish, and ate it in one single undulation of her long neck. Heron flew up to the eagle's branch and said, "Do you want to try it?" Eagle said to Heron, "If I tried to stand in the water to fish, I'd starve." Heron had to accept the truth that Eagle spoke. The two of them became fast friends, and sometimes you may see the strangest sight, an eagle and a heron flying together just for fun.
Well done. Thank you so much. Can you tell us what the inspiration for the story was? Where did you get the idea?
I used to do a lot of work with a Native American shaman, and one of the exercises that this Native American shaman sent us on was to find a medicine helper, and I found Heron. And in this case, I'm the eagle, and Heron was the one who taught the lesson.
Very good. Do you have any other books in the works right now? Are you working on anything else? Can
Yes.
you tell us a little bit about them?
Yes. I have two works that I'm currently writing. The first one is a book, I'm very much distractible as our former author was. The first book is a memoir on alternative medicine. And it's a book in which I recount two different problems with cancer, and I report all of the alternative medicine that I took to get well. The other book is a novel that I'm writing, and it's based on history. It's a historical novel. The history is the King Philip's War in the colonies in 1675 and 1676, and the novel traces the lives of two parents and 10 siblings through that war.
That sounds like a fascinating piece of research. Do you have to do a lot of research to write that story, or,
yeah.
or have you just simply taken one incident from history and formulating fiction around it?
Actually, the people that I'm basing this story on actually lived. In fact, they're my relatives, so are my ancestors, I should say. And I'm taking some of the story as is actual real life, and some of the story is fictional. So I'm doing a lot of research. I probably will be making trips to the East. I'm actually basing some of the story on accounts that I'm finding in the library. I'm researching and finding out that they kept the minutes for every town council meeting, and that these characters are in those minute meetings. And so I'm building this fiction, a sort of a semi-fiction. Some of it's fictional if I don't know the facts, and the other part of it is actually based on the history.
In the industry, we call that creative nonfiction. where you take something that's nonfiction and you fill in the holes with fiction.
Okay, creative nonfiction.
So, yep, yeah, there's it's a whole genre out there.
Yeah.
There's many books written in that style.
Okay.
Does anybody have any questions for Nancy?
Okay, yes.
How many words in this one book?
In this one, how many words?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It's 24 pages.
I think it's 24 pages, I believe. There's about 500 or 600 words in it.
Yeah, okay. It's a very short story.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Nancy, why was this set on the Mississippi?
The Mississippi River is where eagles fish. And of course, because there's so much water and so many waterways in Missouri, the herons are also very, very frequently seen there. So I picked the Mississippi River because that's where the eagles congregate. In the springtime, they fly. In fact, you can go on tours where you can see them floating on ice. There's these ice floes that float down the river, and you can see them perched on these ice floes. And you can see them mating there also in that season.
Any other questions for Nancy? No? Okay. Nancy, thank you so much for joining us today.